like a pro. Tom, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited for our interview today because I love looking at architecture, but I don't know a lot about being in the business. And so I have a lot of questions for you this morning. But first, tell us about your company.
My company is named BKL Architecture. I'm the founding principal. We formed the company in 2010, so we just celebrated 8 years. We're a firm that does a variety of scale of projects and heavily invested in Chicago, doing a lot of exciting things here, but also all over the world. And we're a firm that's very passionate about doing good things and contributing positively to anywhere that we build.
Your website, which is often the front door to your business, is beautiful, I have to say.
Well, thank you.
Some of the projects that you've done, the people that work for you, stunning display. So when we see the cranes everywhere in Chicago, are you happy when you see that, when you drive around and see that in Chicago?
I'm very happy, especially since some of those cranes are building our buildings. So yeah. There's nothing more exciting than seeing the realization of, you know, our work and a project being built. So, in fact, if I'm having a bad day or if I'm having something's going wrong, I go to the construction site because there's nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than being at a construction site.
We should tell people that the planning for some of those cranes, behind those cranes, begins months, maybe even years in advance. Tell us about the timeline of something like that.
Yeah, it certainly depends on the scale of the project, but most of the projects we do are sizable and are pretty complicated. And definitely years before a crane goes up, we're starting. And typically, there's a pretty extensive process at the front end for getting what we call entitlements, and that is the permission to build on a particular site. Most of our projects, our clients are looking to, you know, build more or build taller than what traditional zoning would allow. So going through that process, that community process, the process with the city, and then coming up with a design to go through that process, but then actually producing the documents from which a contractor can build, it takes many years for many projects.
The projects that you seek out or are involved in, do you find ones that are specific to your mission?
Well, we believe in notions of building in the core of cities, sustainability, keeping this migration back to cities is happening all over the world, and we certainly see it in Chicago. So I think at our core, we'd like to build in urban areas ideally centered around public transit. That's core to our belief. And we also believe and enjoy working on projects of different scales, different sizes, and also different types of uses. And oftentimes what's happening that tie those two things together is that when people are building in the core of cities, land is at a premium. And in order to diversify uses and mitigate economic risk, they'll typically put multiple uses on one site. Retail, sometimes hotel, coupled with apartments, and now you're seeing more and more office developments that are also part of mixed-use developments coupled with hotels or perhaps even residential.
Give our listeners a sense of an example of one of your places that you've done in Chicago or some ideas of... Put a name behind the building.
Right. We did the first building at Wolf Point, which is the site that sits a very key strategic site in the history of Chicago, where the three branches of the Chicago River come together, right south of the Merchandise Mart and the Apparel Mart for the Kennedy family and for Heinz Interest and Magellan Development. We built the first 500-unit residential building on that site. We're working on a project that we're very excited about just out the window here called Rennell, which is just west of the Wrigley Building and tucked behind Trump Tower. It's a small boutique condo building. It's 18 floors, but it's 50 units that is facing the river. We did the GEMS school. We're doing actually two high-rise, what we consider high-rise schools, a 10-story K-4 elementary school that sits at Lakeshore East, just tucked behind Wacker Drive, south of the river. And we're building the second phase of GEMS, which is the grades 5-12 that's on Wacker Drive. So we're also working on office projects. one of the most exciting things we're doing now. We're doing so many exciting things, but we're also working on three new buildings along the lake, where the lake and the river come together, which is the last parcel at Lakeshore East yet to be developed and affectionately known as parcels IJKL right now. Originally master planned as four towers, and we've remaster planned it to be three towers, and we're in the process of going through the approvals with the city for that project.
You know, one of the hot areas too is the Fulton Market. You're involved over there as well, aren't you?
We are. We're working on two projects over there. We have one project under construction, and then we have another project soon to start construction called Union West, which is at between Washington and Madison, and between Morgan and Sangamon. Our client from Miami secured the rights to build on this piece of land, and then 3 weeks later, McDonald's announced their headquarters was being built a block away. So they're happy campers is the official term, I guess. But
yeah, when did you know you wanted to be an architect, and what went into that?
Yeah, I knew fairly young. I get asked that question a lot. I knew fairly young, and I'm not totally sure why, but I did get enamored with. I always was enamored with making things and you know, realizing things that came about working with your hands. And I got really enamored with the drawing tools as a kid. And it seems odd to think about this, but I got enamored with, you know, going to those old-time drafting shops. And this is when we were still drawing by hand. And you would, you know, pick up these tools of you know, compasses and scales, and I just got and the different types of pencils. I mean, I can still remember going into these stores when I was a kid, and just also looking at how expensive this stuff was, and I didn't have a lot of money, so it was always saving money to buy these tools. And and then I just always appreciated the fact that, and realized early on that I can go walk through and walk around something that I spend a lot of time on, and that to me is still gets me jazzed every day. So
listeners probably would I'm one of them. In high school we had a semester called drafting is right. What we called it back then. It was exciting to draw stuff, but it's changed a lot now. It's all computers, isn't it? Now
it is all computers. I mean, we still sketch, we still build models by hand. I mean, there's even with 3D printing and things, we still build paper models and we still sketch by hand. But yeah, the tools we have just, you know, they're unbelievable what we can do now. And, you know, although I've kind of up there in years now, I hate to say it, but when I first started in the profession, it was at the advent of when the computer was beginning to take shape. And so I did draw, you know, drafted typically by hand all through, you know, high school and college. But then when I got out of college, I was fortunate to land a job at Skidmore, Owings & Merrill, and that was at that firm at the time and was at the forefront of using computer technology. And so I was put in a class my first day and learning the programs that the firm was using. So I was fortunate to be at the forefront of using those tools and understand the power of them and understand how important it is to have the best and greatest tools. And now what we can do with particularly communicating our design ideas to our clients with the use of, you know, three-dimensional imaging and now virtual reality is quite amazing. But also the construction process has become much more efficient because of the tools and the programs we're using and how we're able to turn over those digital models to the contractor so that our designs can be realized more efficiently and hopefully in a better way.
So when a project like this begins, how much creativity do you and your team get to have, or are ideas dictated to you and then you come up with stuff, or do you let your imagination go and just start designing something fresh?
Well, I think it's all of the above. Any good design is a process of collaboration, and the collaboration comes, the collaboration comes in many different forms. First and foremost, it has to come from the client. The client sometimes does come with ideas, and that's great. And that feedback from the client initial goal setting and ideas of what they want, and also the process of them commenting on what we're doing is very important. But clearly they come to us for our ideas and for our process, and we try to create as open an environment as possible so those ideas come from a variety of places. And that collaboration and that thought process is what, you know, really makes buildings can really make buildings great. And it also, you know, you also can't discount what comes from other disciplines in our field, like the engineering disciplines and other disciplines that contribute to the built environment. You know, those are also those folks are also very creative and can really, if you engage them properly, can really have a huge impact on the outcome.
Earlier, I mentioned that your staff, from the picture on the website, you have a diverse staff. You have a young looking staff. Is this an old man's game or a young man, woman, and men's game?
Well, architecture typically has been known as an old man's game, no question. And it does take a long time to learn our profession and establish the credibility with folks that are going to entrust you spending a lot of their money, frankly. These buildings are complicated and take years to build and have big financial impacts. So architecture historically has been an old man's game. And unfortunately, it's been primarily a man's game as well. It's well documented that women in our profession have not grown as equitably as men. So that's something I truly believe in, is gender diversity. And if you look at our website, you'll see we have women in positions of leadership at every level, and we're actually, I think, over 50% women right now in our firm. The cultural diversity subject is also extremely important, and it's particularly timely with the discussions that are going on in our country. Many of my staff are from different countries, or their parents are from different countries. And having that diversity of thought is extremely important. If you have a group of, as you say, old men, the old men's game, if it's a bunch of old white guys sitting around a table, you're likely not going to get as diverse and vibrant thought processes you would from people of different ethnicities and different places, different genders, and it breeds better and bigger ideas.
We had the CEO of one of the city's big construction companies in for this very segment previously, and we got into a discussion about how they're already planning and working on projects in the future taking climate change into account. This is building roads and bridges. How much of that goes into building buildings?
It's at the forefront, and all of us are very attuned to it. It's good practice. As buildings are, when people think of what's affecting our climate, they often think of automobiles or other types of things, but it's actually buildings that emit the bulk of the carbon to our atmosphere. We can have a direct impact that construction gentleman, as well as because the construction process is equally as important. The waste and how you handle things on site is just as important as the building planning. But how we plan buildings to be as energy efficient as possible is just good sound planning. From the client's perspective, but also, socially conscious and important, for our environment. And our staff, you mentioned the age of our staff. We do have, we have a diversity of age groups as well. We do have a high contingent of young people who that is extremely important to them. I mean, they're here longer than, I guess, us, and we're all, looking out to our children and our grandchildren. And so having that at the forefront of what we do is extremely important.
It must be extra rewarding too for you and your designers to go to these buildings when they're done. Do you go after you finish a project just to go to a building and see it after it's finished?
Yeah, I go all the time. I mean, to me that is what makes it all worthwhile. If I'm having a bad afternoon, I might just skip a meeting. Although I guess I shouldn't be broadcasting that, and I will go over to a construction site, because to me, that is the most exhilarating thing, is to be able to walk around and through buildings that we're working on. And not only when they're completely finished, but in the process as well. You know, we purposefully, our name, the first letter of our firm is a small B, and it stands for build. Because, you know, it's quite easy to draw things. It's not as easy to get things built. There's a lot of factors that have to come into play, many of which are under our control and many of which are not under our control. But getting a project built is what it's all about. So to me, that is, you know, I get the most joy out of going to see things, you know, while they're being built and after they're finished.
You mentioned earlier you worked with the Skidmore, one of the historic firms. What have you brought from your past that's helped you at this moment now to be in charge of your own firm?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, I had a great long career there. I was a partner in a Chicago office, and before I broke off and started my own company. And for me, you know, having that autonomy in creating things, and not only creating buildings, but also creating a practice and a culture and a set of ideals around a business, were really kind of drove me to really start my own thing. And, you know, I was fortunate to work all over the world on some of the most complicated projects built. And so I've seen and done a lot of different things. So, you know, again, it's an architecture is it's a team sport. So, you know, I'm not proclaiming to know and be able to do everything, but knowing enough to who to call and who to pull in, and fortunately, who I've been able to pull into my firms, a lot of which are my former colleagues who came with me, is just as important as anything to get a building done. So, and, you know, I was also involved in, had some responsibilities in running the business as well. So I was able to learn a lot about that end of the profession. So all those things have kind of contributed to my experience in hoping to lead a productive and good firm that will last, you know, be sustainable and last for a long time.
We've been talking about a lot about building the new buildings, new stuff that's underway. Talk to me a little bit about old stuff that's out there. How big of a role do you have in historical preservation of architecture, and is that a big deal at your firm?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, again, that's a passion of a lot of the folks that I have that work with me, and one of the most exciting projects we're doing is, it's called House of Tomorrow, and there were I believe 5 or 6 houses that were built as part of the Century of Progress World's Fair in 1930s that was held at Northerly Island. And there were 5 homes of the future. One of them was designed by a very famous firm, Chicago firm, Keck & Keck, who's done a lot of beautiful modern homes, particularly on the North Shore. They built this glass, futuristic home that was probably the most interesting of the homes that were built there. Those homes after the fair were all moved to Indiana along the lakeshore at the dunes. And all of them have been restored, with the exception of the Keck and Keck House, the House of Tomorrow House. So we have a team working with the Indiana Landmark Society, and also the federal landmark, the national landmarks, to restore that house to its former glory, and also even bring it forward so it's really a house of tomorrow from today's standpoint.
Whenever I drive into the city, and I know other people have told me this too, it doesn't even have to be the city, but for me it is. I get like this feeling when I see the city skyline and see the buildings. What is that feeling? Is it an architecture feeling, or is it just, what is that?
No, I think that is just, I get the same feeling. And I think it's just, cities are exciting.
Yeah.
Cities are vibrant, right? Great things happen in cities. You know, obviously we all work in the core. Not everybody does, but we're fortunate to work in the core as you all are. But there's also now people are living in the core. You know, of course, we're going to museums. The schools are, you know, being continually improved. I think anybody has that feeling of just excitement when you're coming into a city. And I think the other thing about Chicago is the density is such that it just makes it more exhilarating, because you see, and we keep getting more, as you mentioned, that we keep getting more dense because we have more and more cranes. But I think it's a feeling that everybody has at some point.
And I'm sure there are people at your firm dreaming, too, of the time when we are coming in and maybe we'll be in a plane or a drone or something, and there'll be Jetsons-type stuff spinning around. That's where we're headed, isn't it? No, or no?
No, I think we are. I mean, I think, you know, it's just amazing, this driver, these driverless cars and these things that are going on. So I think it all bodes well for the future of cities, because if we can get around easier and more efficiently without the use of personal automobiles, you know, cities are going to become even more vibrant and more attractive.
Tom, wonderful meeting you. All the best to everybody at your firm, and please come back.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure.